Blackbird singing in the dead of night.
The Drive Guys, live and local. Every afternoon, Monday through Friday on Sactown Sports.
Oh, thanks for playing that, Kyle. It's incredible.
Yeah. Wow.
You definitely got to check out the... Listen to that.
Ooh.
Beyonce's Blackbird. Incredible. Yeah. One of the bright spots in a week that has not been great for Kings fans with the loss to Dallas. And then, Kevin Herter's out for the season. And then you lose to Dallas again. And then Malik sprains his knee. And then Malik's out for the rest of the season. At least they got the win last night. So where are we right now? Kyle Draper, I know you said today you're not sure what your level of optimism is for the rest of this thing.
Yeah, and you know, Whitey, it goes back to expectations, right? If I'm expecting a little bit, when they achieve a little, it'll be okay, you know? If I'm expecting a deep playoff run and they just wind up in the play-in, then I'm disappointed. And I'm not sure how to feel about where this Kings team is right now. On paper, and I'm with you, I think they could still do some good things. Like, it might be the bump that we talked about, like Houston with Şengün when he went down. But then I look at the schedule, and it concerns me. And maybe, you know, you get through these next three games and then go on a run. But this is a tough schedule, man. The Knicks are a tough matchup, even though the Knicks, you know, they've lost two in a row, reeling a little bit. But this Clippers team has won three in a row. Boston always has our number. And so if we can go 2-1, I think that's super successful, highly successful. I just don't know what to expect here over these last nine games.
BCH Custom Cabinetry asks, seventh spot only needs to win one play-in game, correct?
Correct. Yeah. One play-in game.
And you get two shots.
You get two cracks at it.
Two cracks at
two
one.
Two cracks to win one. And if you're the seventh, both of those are at home. And so you got to think. I mean, if it started now, you would take on the Phoenix Suns. Right now, you got the tiebreaker. You've beaten Phoenix more than they've beaten you. So you got to think you'd be favored in that, at least from a Sacramento standpoint.
And then if you didn't prevail.
Lakers or Warriors.
The winner of that game.
Winner of that game.
Yeah.
Who would you rather like to see? Lakers, probably, which is crazy because you've owned them. But I don't know. In a one game, winner take all, LeBron, AD.
LeBron. AD and the officials. Give me the
word. And the officials. Steph don't get the officials?
That's a good point.
Yeah, you know, he's not going to go to the line 18 times or whatever it is.
Either way, huh?
Right, that's eight versus five.
That.
Right.
Definitely want to avoid that scenario.
You got to handle your business. Handle your business.
Ryan Williams Art, your buddy, says, my definition of a successful season at this point. Keep me entertained. If you're competitive and actively trying to get better, then it's a productive season.
That's a loser's mentality, Ryan Williams. All right, that's loser's mentality. I'm not calling you a loser. I'm just saying that might keep me entertained. Whee! Nah, man, it's not about that.
We lost at the buzzer. That was great.
Whee! Nah, I'm sorry, Ryan Williams. All right, can't co-sign on that. Win games. And you've been talking about it for two or three weeks now, Whitey. There's no good losses or bad wins.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just get the W, right?
Yeah.
We're at that point. And so there are no moral victories or any, at least we were entertained. No, we're trying to make the playoffs here. And so to me, when you talk about successful, I think it's getting into the top eight.
Uh-huh.
However you get there, whether it's top six or play-in and then advance, getting into the actual playoffs.
I'll tell you what, was Ryan the one that got you the nice Kirkland wallet?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. So I don't mean to take shots at him, but, you know, Friday was entertaining, but it sucked.
It sucked, right. That was a highly entertaining game.
Yeah.
Yes, plays were made, but it sucked. You left that game feeling like you got punched in the gut. And so I'm not buying this. Just keep me entertained. What is that? That's a loser. That's like going to a Pistons game. That's all you ask for the Pistons at this point.
Yeah, I hope we see a good game.
Just want to see a good game. Just want to be entertained. Come on, Ryan Williams.
Yeah.
All right, you better
than that. That's the attitude like when you go to see the A's play.
Right.
It's like, I hope it's at least a good game.
Yeah, exactly. Just don't get blown out, you know?
Plus, the Pistons haven't been entertaining since 2008.
Ouch. They would take that right now, Kyle. they would take to be entertained.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Let's get Mitch on.
Uh-oh, your boy. Yeah.
Mitch from New Jersey. What's up, Mitch?
How's it going, Kyle? Whitey, thanks for taking my call. Happy late Easter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm hoping we can get into the top six. I saw we lost two good players, but seeing all of a sudden Sasha and Lyles are back in the lineup. So we have a deep team. I see those guys getting in. Fox and Sabonis have to be more selfish.
Yeah. Thank you, Mitch. Yeah. How much is reasonable to expect from, okay, Lyles is back, Sasha's back. Now I know it's like, yeah, Malik Monk's out. You understand? He may never come back. Okay, I get that. I understand. I'm not overlooking that, but Trey Lyles has played well this year. Sasha has seen, you know, he's shown some flashes. Is there anything there realistically that we can feel good about? I think so.
I think, too, if we would have had those guys Friday against Dallas, we might have won that game. I think the offense bogged down in the fourth quarter. We truly miss Malik Monk. And I go back to what Harrison said. Without Malik, you're going to have to trust the offense and work the offense to perfection late in games more so than ever. Because now we only got one-on-one guy. One guy that can really create a shot off the dribble and get buckets in a clutch situation, and that's De'Aaron Fox. Malik was that other guy. Now you take him out. You're not asking Sasha to do that. You're not asking Trey Lyles to do that. And so now you're asking that Kings offense to operate at an elite level late in the games. And as you know, Whitey, most of the time NBA teams give the ball to their best player and let them cook. Are we going to see that from De'Aaron Fox? If so, we need last year clutch player of the year, De'Aaron Fox.
Mm-hmm. Manny Too Legit says, if we make the playoffs, it's a success. But if we don't at all this season, it's not a success.
Exactly what I was saying. My guy Manny Too Legit. I agree with you. You know, even if we make the play-in now, it sucks and won't make us happy. But if you advance out of that,
I agree.
Then you got a best of seven series. That's all you can ask for at this point. Mm-hmm.
To me, that's always been to me what would constitute a successful season. Mm-hmm. Given now that you're without Malik. I don't want to say. I just want them to be entertained.
Entertained.
To me, I think it's possible that you not get out of the plane and still say overall it was successful. But I don't even want to think about that now.
No, I'm exactly. I'm not even, you know, just get to the play-in, get that seventh seed like we talked about. And, you know, and even the eighth seed, I don't want it, but you still got two cracks at it,
mm-hmm.
You know. Whatever happens, just advance to the top eight. That's what I need from the Kings.
We've talked about this. Last year, obviously, was a magical season. There may never be another one quite like last year. Maybe there will be better seasons. There will never be one quite like last season. That said, when the Kings clinched, it was a matter of, oh, we know they're going to clinch, right? It was almost inevitable. If the Kings clinch this year, one way or the other, a playoff spot, we will celebrate that.
We will celebrate, and, mind you, the West is the toughest it's been in a long time. Like, to make it into the playoffs with the injuries, with losing Malik, mm-hmm. with how great everyone else is. I mean, Minnesota, OKC, Clippers, Pelicans are better than people thought. And to be one of the top eight, I mean, think about it. Why are you looking at the standings? I'm looking at the standings right now. You already got three teams with 50 or more wins. How many teams do we have at 50 or more wins last year in the Western Conference? Did Memphis have 50? I don't know if they did. Denver, I know, did. Maybe Memphis. This year, you're going to have maybe four or five teams mm-hmm. over 50 wins this year.
Gabriel Perez says, give me OKC in the playoffs.
Ooh.
Weren't you saying that? Was
yeah,
it you saying that?
Of course I was saying that. They're inexperienced. They're a little light on the front court in terms of size and strength. Like, I feel like Domas can take it to the body of Chet Holmgren. OKC's a fun team. They're young, up and coming. They're exciting. I think that's a good series. Mm-hmm. Also, Minnesota. Who knows what's going to happen with Karl Anthony Towns? If Cat is out, you know what? Try our chances with Minnesota. I'm for that. Anybody but Denver at this point.
Yeah, we're looking ahead, maybe a little too far, getting ahead of ourselves. As you said earlier, tomorrow night is just flat out a huge game.
Huge game. I mean, it's almost to the point. If you lose tomorrow,
oh, here he goes.
You're guaranteed a play-in. Like, it's You know, I need – remember, we talked about the Mavs and their light schedule, their weak schedule. Who do they have tomorrow? Whitey, got this here?
The Mavs have the Warriors.
Yeah, they got the Warriors. Ooh, that's what I'm saying. You win tomorrow. You want the Warriors to win, right?
It's a home game for the Warriors. They don't win home games.
Yeah, that's true. But then you're only a game behind the Mavericks.
Yeah.
And the tiebreaker is conference record after that. And so you still have a shot at surpassing them. You just need them to cool off a little bit. I mean, they got the Warriors, Hawks, Warriors, Rockets. That's their next four games. We're going to have to cheer for the Warriors. I'm sorry. Kings fans, our squad needs to take care of their business tomorrow, take care of it Thursday against the Knicks, and hope this Dallas team hits a little speed bump here, loses a couple of games here.
I think that's a really important point you just made, talking about the tiebreaker Kings and Mavs, should it come to that, because I think a lot of us were assuming, oh, Dallas won the tiebreaker.
No,
Friday, but
they
did
just
not.
Tied it up.
Yeah.
And then it goes to conference record, if I'm correct, Whitey.
Yes.
They're 29-19 in the conference. We're 28-19.
Right. Yeah. It goes to division next, which does not apply.
Right.
Because they're not in the same
division. Not in the same division.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So the Kings are a half game behind Dallas. And then I don't know what it goes to after that.
Right. Coin flip or something. I have no idea, man. It gets pretty deep.
It does eventually get to a coin flip, but I think there's like three tiebreakers before that.
Yeah, next would be one loss percentage versus playoff teams in your own conference.
Yeah.
That would be next.
Right. Yeah. Who's going to do that math? I leave that to the bots and to the, you know, AI and all that. I can't do that math.
I'll bet you when we come back from break, I'll bet you Kyle.
Kyle will have it for us, right? Look, he's on top of it right now.
All right, here we go. Let's go through
the
Mavericks schedule.
Quick timeout when we come back. Will the Kings need more from their two best players? Okay. How much more?
Yeah.
As the Drive guys roll on Sacktown Sports.
Your afternoon home for Kings talk and so much more. The Drive guys on Sacktown Sports.
Kings and Clippers tomorrow night. Clippers have been playing a little better, Drapes. One of the things that had been comforting me from the standpoint of somebody who wants to see the Kings do well, it's like, those Clippers, they were great coming out of the All-Star break, but then they faded. Right? They haven't been playing well. Now they have played well.
Yeah, they've seen to right the ship. Paul George is playing at a high level, just had 41 yesterday. And I believe the Clips probably in town now, or at least arriving any minute now. And this is, you know, we talked about it last week, 2 weeks ago. The playoffs have begun for the Sacramento Kings. Like, every game is important. Even last night against the Utah Jazz was massive. You had to have that one. And I think you got to do that tonight. I mean, tomorrow night as well against the Clippers.
Well, they really, scheduling-wise, it was a perfect spot for that game, huh?
Utah Jazz?
Yeah.
Needed that, right?
Whacked by Dallas. Right. And then you got that big one tomorrow, and they needed like almost like a homecoming game.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's... imagine going from getting whacked against Dallas to, oh, here's Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Like, you're already licking your wounds, feeling kind of down. And so now you're feeling a little bit of up. And here's the thing, and I wonder, too, maybe Mike Brown, the reason Sasha and Trey Lyles didn't play Friday is you don't want to bring them back in a high-leverage game like that, their first game back.
Mm-hmm.
Bring them against a Utah team that has now lost 9 in a row, get their feet wet, and then, bam, they're ready for tomorrow night as well.
Yeah, Sasha only played 10 minutes last night. There were opportunities maybe for him to play a little more. He made 2 out of 3 shots, but getting the rust off, they're going to need him. I don't know if they're going to need him, but he's going to have opportunities to help. He definitely is going to have a chance to make his mark still on this season.
Yeah, and when you look at, you know, the bench and what it was before Malik got hurt, like, we severely missed Trey Lyles and Sasha Vezenkov. Like, we missed their scoring punch, their firepower off the bench. You know, we were asking Davion to bring it, asking Chris Duarte to bring it. Great players, fine players, but, you know, let's keep it real. Sasha and Trey have the ability to knock down the three at a higher clip. And so I think, you know, these dudes are going to play a huge part over these last 8.
You think Davion will be the sixth man the rest of the year? Davion. He was last night, right?
I mean, Davion and Trey. I think those were the first two guys off the bench last night. I think so. And Davion's been playing well. Let's give him his flowers. You know, if I was to do a Drapes take part two, he would be a part of it. I think he's been playing extremely well. You know,
five rebounds.
Yeah, exactly. Points. He was competing. I thought he took the shots he was supposed to take. He drove when he was supposed to drive as well. And I think his floor game is at a season high right now. He's comfortable with how he's playing. And so give Davion some love for sure.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. By the way, it looks like your guy, Ryan Williams, Art, he keeps commenting here. I don't know if you hurt his feelings. I think you misunderstood me, Drapes. Anyway, I got this guy a high-quality Kirkland wallet, and then this is what he says about me, LOL. So I don't know. You guys may have to straighten that out. You offended him when you said he had a loser's mentality.
He just wants to be entertained. Come on. And let me tell you about that Kirkland wallet. No offense, Ryan Williams Art, but your boy had to upgrade. That Kirkland wallet, I think, is in the, you know, that kitchen drawer with all the junk stuff in it.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's rubber
where that
bands right. And, rubber yeah. bands and paper clips. I went out and got another wallet. I appreciate you bringing one in. That'll be my backup, my spare wallet. But that wallet is in a drawer somewhere right now.
He does say the Kings have made their bed by being inconsistent. They got to do this the hard way. Expectations are in check. Your own words, Drapes. Conditioned as a Kings fan. Four seasons for you. Ooh. He says 39 for me.
Man, 30. He's been around since day one, huh?
Pulling the numbers
out. He's been around since day one. And I hear you, but I'm trying to raise the level here, Ryan Williams. I'm trying to think positive like my guy Whitey, the way he
That's
came
right.
in today, you know? And so I'm not talking about losses anymore.
It's kind of fun to look at where it is. Now, obviously, as you said, well, they could go on a losing streak. And if they go on a losing streak, then it's not very much fun. But it is exciting to think of this chance they have to surprise a lot of people. And to me, I think this is a team that in some ways they're more dangerous when people are overlooking them.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you mentioned it, too. You talked about the Rockies. We talked about Houston this year. I look at the Phillies a couple of years ago advancing to the World Series, 2 years ago, not this past year, 2 years ago. And, you know, they sort of came out of nowhere.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
you know,
wasn't that Bryce Harper was hurt middle of the
right,
year? And he's like,
right,
right. Yeah, their best player's not even playing.
Yes.
They're no good.
And then, bam, they turned it on late. And so why can't the Kings do that? I will say, we have the talent to still make some noise. It's not, but like we said, the stars got to be the stars. Domas and De'Aaron have to play at an elite level. I'm talking the best they've played all season long.
Here's some interesting numbers on Domas, because we've been talking a lot today about his shooting. People are wondering, why doesn't he take more jump shots? He takes very few jump shots from 0 to 10 feet. Let's see. 0 to 3 feet is, well, there's just a lot of numbers here. Takes most of his shots from there. He takes only, from 10 to 16 feet, 0.71% of his shots. That's the frequency. So he doesn't
0.71%?
shoot from that. 0.071.
0.071.
Yeah, percentage of field goal attempts from that. 0.071. But
so foul line to the three.
Yeah, but his shooting percentage, 10 to 16 feet, is 50%. So he can make the shot, but he doesn't take it. And we talked about his three-point numbers, which, of course, you can look up as 397. 16 to three-point line, 16 feet out to 23.9, 37% shooter. So the numbers show that, wow, he can make that shot. But you look at the frequency of field goal attempts from that distance, he does not take them.
Doesn't take them. And they are there, you know. And it goes, and somebody in the text line talked about it as well. Domas from the 916. Domas is an amazing player, but yes, he passes up the foul line jumper more than any player passes up any shot ever. It really stood out last year in the playoffs against the Warriors. May have been the difference. And I would like to see Domas, to your point, diversify his offensive game a little bit. You know, you're not going to be able to overpower guys or pump fake a couple of times and get guys all the time. Sure, you're effective. Sure, you know, you're putting up numbers. But, man, you could take it. I could argue that foul line jumper will help unlock everything else offensively,
totally
too.
Agree. And he
right?
knows that. He must
right.
know that.
Exactly. And so he needs to do that, and especially with Malik not down. I think as you see games go on, the later in the games, they're going to force Domas to become a scorer, I think. You know, and so he has to take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. taking that jump shot when they give it to him. That's a huge part of that. Where are we right now with De'Aaron Fox and his three-point shot? Which earlier in the year, around February, January, we're like, oh, this guy is incredible the way he's shooting the three ball. Hasn't shot the three ball well since then.
Has not. And, you know, 36.3% right now for De'Aaron Fox. And, you know, I could pull up his splits and we could just see. He started off October, November, part of December, like really on fire.
Wasn't he over 40%?
Yes. Yes. I got the numbers right here. Here you go. The month of December, 43.7% from three he shot. October, 37.5%. Respectable. I'll take that.
Yeah.
November, 36%. December, 43.7%. January.
Did you say December? Did you say 43?
Yeah. December, 43. Yeah. He was killing 43. It. 43.7.
You can't guard that guy when he's making threes at that rate.
Exactly. But then it fell off a cliff. January, 32.6%. February, 32.6%. March, 34.2%. So, over the last 3 months.
He had the shoulder, whatever it was, but he hadn't been the same, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. He hasn't been the same. And, you know, when you look at it, one thing about De'Aaron Fox, which is interesting. Check this out, Whitey. In December, when he was hitting 43.7% of his threes, he took 119 three-pointers in 13 games. January, in 15 games, he took 95. So, two more games, way more fewer attempts. February, only 11 games, he took 74. March, 15 games, 111. So, he sort of scaled back the amount of threes, which is I'm okay with. Because if you're not knocking him down, remember in December, we would talk about how he would take so many threes, but what happened to getting into the paint? He sort of got away from that. In late December and January, I'd like to see him get to that foul line jumper a little more.
And what I hear you saying is you'd like to see him get into the paint and then spray.
Yeah, spray threes. Because that's the offense. The offense isn't just Domas handing it off. The offense, to get Trey Lyles, to get Harrison Barnes, Keegan Murray, to get those guys' shots, dear, and that's a way he can make players around him better too, right, Whitey? Mm-hmm. It doesn't always have to be Fox getting into the paint and trying to contort and finish. Help your teammates out with those spray threes. He did a great job last night with 12 assists.
By the way, I'm a little late to this party. I didn't realize that so many critics of Domas. There aren't a lot around here.
Yeah.
But the critics of Domas say, that was assists. He gets assists for the handoffs. I didn't realize that so many people look down on his assists and say, it's not even an assist.
They ain't even, they're not talking Jokic about that. Maybe because Jokic, you know, makes different kind of passes. But an assist is an assist.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden handoffs because of this one guy, we want to change the rules. It's not as important. Come on now. It's a lot of Domas slander out there for
sure.
There is. Yes.
There is.
Yes.
Yeah. We need to put that to bed. He needs to put that to bed from here the rest of the way. 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. When we come back, LeBron has almost caught MJ in one way. That's next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Well, if Kyle Draper seems a little distracted here the rest of the show, it's understandable because he is very wrapped up in this women's college basketball Final Four showdown.
Tight one right now. Iowa on top 20-14.
Actually, this is Elite Eight, right? I said
Elite Eight. You said trip to Final Four on the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's packed out there, too. Albany, New York.
Your girl, Caitlin Clark's already got 2 3-pointers in the game, too.
Really?
Speaking of 3-pointers in the women's game, did you see what happened at the regionals or wherever they're playing in Portland?
I heard about it. I didn't actually look and see. And they decided, go ahead, you describe it. What happened?
Well, they basically, someone realized the three-point line is further away at one end than it is at the other.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
And I think the further one was right, and so the other one at the other end was a little closer, if I recall. So when they realized that, they went to the coaches and said, what do you guys want to do? And they, what would you have done there? Because you could... They said, well, look, we can take get rid of them. We'll put in new lines. It's going to take a while, but we can do that.
As a coach, I'd probably want them to put in new lines. Because, and I know they change sides at halftime, and so each team gets a chance to shoot it. But It just, to me, what if one team gets hot and hits like 23s in the first half? And then you got to go out and hit 23s. How did that happen, though, Whitey? Because if I'm correct, this was yesterday.
Yeah.
Didn't they play games? And Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't they play games on that floor Friday? You know what I mean?
So not on Friday. So no, wait. So this was the Sunday-Friday games.
Yeah.
And they had already played one game earlier in the day.
Right. So how does that – nobody noticed until then?
See, that's a good question. Because so that was the first game of that day in Portland.
And they apparently that – yeah. Apparently they were pointing fingers at the quote-unquote vendor. So whoever came out and did the – you know, whoever came out and supplied that service did it wrong. But the coaches ultimately decided, well, let's just play it. It's, you know, ultimately there's no advantage there. The numbers suggest that nobody gained an advantage. The coaches were already upset. I know one of them said, look, I already was behind because I have all these other things I got to do before a game. And here we had to deal with this. We didn't want to wait longer. Yeah. I think if it were me, maybe it's impossible to keep it from your team, but I wouldn't want my team to know. If it's not something you can look
don't
at.
Say anything, don't get it in your mind.
Yeah.
But my point, Kyle and Whitey, is it was the Elite Eight game yesterday.
Yeah. Yes.
So Friday would have been the Sweet 16 games, right?
You are correct.
So then did they pull up the floor and then put in down a different floor? I just don't get it.
I think you're correct because in my mind, the way that the women's tournament does it is that there's two sites for the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight instead of four like the
men. Right.
So in my mind, I was thinking, well, they would have had to play two Elite Eight games in Portland, but they're playing the second one tonight with the correct court dimensions. Court.
Yeah.
So I think you're right about the possibility that it wasn't correct on Friday, too, and nobody noticed
or said anything. I mean, it's just and they went on and played, and, you know, it's just how does that happen, though? Like, and I guess maybe man-made error, you know, errors are going to happen like that. But at this level, I could see a high school gym guy or something messing a floor up or something like that. But not this.
It wasn't insignificant either. Like those 3-point lines, the furthest out it goes, I think, is 24 point something feet. This was a 9-inch difference on the 3-point line. It wasn't like, oh, it's a small difference. It's like almost a foot difference.
Yeah. According to the Associated Press, one 3-point line near the top of the key appeared to be about 6 inches closer to the basket than at the opposite end.
6 inches.
And I think I saw something else to Kyle's point. I think they measured, I believe officially it ended up being closer to 9. The NCAA 3-point line for women, 22 1¾ inches. That's for both men and women, 22 1¾ inches. So, yeah, the coaches agreed to play. And I'm looking for information on what you're saying there, Kyle. Sounds like maybe it's something that they just don't want us
to think about.
Yeah, lines will be measured after practices concluded Sunday evening. Correct markings will be on the floor ahead of USC and UConn today. So
yeah, that's today.
Yeah.
All right. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of numbers and records, LeBron last night, LeBron had 40 and a big Laker win.
Nine triples.
Yeah. LeBron James, 9 for 10 beyond the arc.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Lakers, 116-104 over the Nets. 40 points for LeBron. So LeBron now, there's only two players with 40 or more points after turning 39. LeBron's done it twice, and Michael Jordan did it 3 times.
Catching up to
him. I think MJ was 40 when he did it.
Yeah, LeBron will get that. LeBron definitely will get that at some point. And, you know, what's interesting about the way the game has changed, remember when Jordan made 6 in the finals in the first half and it was just like, oh, my God, he had 6 threes.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
Nowadays.
Yeah. I think Michael Cooper did that against the Lakers one time, something like 6 or 7.
Yeah, oh, my God, that's unheard of. You know, now guys, like you got LeBron James, not even a 3-point shooter, knocking down 9 in the game. Like, the game has changed so much. And, you know, you hit 6, and, yeah, you're hot, but you're just one of many guys who have done that now.
Here's a question for you from Manny. He's looking at the game tonight, and he says, all right, tonight you got the Suns and the Pelicans. So if you're the Kings or Kings fans, who are we supposed to root for, Kyle?
I still think. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I didn't mean to jump in there, but you were thinking about it. So to me, I want Phoenix to lose.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. I think, now, if you own the tiebreaker against the Pelicans, I'd say, yeah, we want the Pelicans to lose. But that tiebreaker is come and gone. That ship has sailed.
It wasn't even really close.
It wasn't even close. I mean, it was over in November. You know what I mean? Like, seriously.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we need Phoenix to lose. I mean, because we're talking, now we're looking at the play-in. You want to get the best possible seed, and that's seven. So anything that can help you get the seventh seed at worst, that's what you want. Mm-hmm. You know, I just can't see. Now, if it was against the Mavs, let's say it was against the Mavericks, do you want them to beat the Mavericks? Because the tiebreakers.
The Suns?
No, if the Mavs were playing the Suns.
Yeah.
Because the tiebreaker then goes to conference record, and I believe you would be ahead of them then because you both have 19 losses. Dallas loses, that's 20 losses, and you own the tiebreaker.
You know me, I'm really excited about the seventh spot right now. Anything that's going to help me get that.
Okay.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm just...
The six is still an outside chance.
Sure.
Because I'm looking at our fans, our friends over in the YouTube chat here. You know, Manny Too Legit, still possible to get to the sixth seed. I believe we still can.
He's
optimistic.
Possible. It's possible.
He has the right mindset, Whitey.
Uh-huh. Who are you going to catch?
Dallas. That's the one. You still have a chance. The Pelicans, I feel... Really, you're behind them two. Really, it's three.
Right.
Because they own the tiebreaker.
Right.
But you do play them one more time. But still, that's an uphill battle. I still think you can catch the Mavs. You just need the Mavs to falter.
Yeah. Three back with eight to go is just...
That's...
And when you're, you know, you're listing a little bit, that's a lot to ask.
It is. And then that's, you know, I don't know who to root for, ladies and gentlemen. Like, now all of a sudden, I got to turn into a Warriors fan? These last 2 weeks of the season.
It's funny. We've talked about that in the past, haven't we? It's like, I think you decided, I'm not going to watch, and then I'll hope to find out that the Warriors won.
Yes.
But I don't want to root for them, and I don't want to watch them win.
I'm hoping the other teams lose. I'm not rooting for the Warriors to win, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
You know? But you look at it. I mean, Phoenix, we know, has the tough schedule. How about this Phoenix tough schedule? I mean, and I know we talk, it's by far the toughest schedule. Although they did just beat Denver, so I want to put an asterisk next to it. Two against Minnesota, two against the Clippers, two against the Pelicans.
The only thing that worries me about that is I remember talking with you 2-3 weeks ago, and this is me talking. I said this.
Yeah.
I looked at their schedule and said, they have the toughest schedule I've ever seen. They're done. Well, they're 6-4 in their last 10.
Right.
Somehow they keep winning.
That's the thing.
Games.
They're coming off a big win against Denver. And so, sure, it's tough, but if they go out there and handle their business, man, and we're the fourth toughest schedule. I mean, our schedule is, you know what? It might come down to that final game against Phoenix, Whitey, for the Kings.
Yeah,
Next to the last game, right? Yeah, then you got Portland.
You scared
to
me.
Wrap it.
Oh, coming down that Portland
game. Can you imagine?
Right?
No.
I guess that wouldn't be bad.
No, that wouldn't be bad. But that game before then, Phoenix, the second to last game, because right now you have the tiebreaker, I do believe, over Phoenix.
All right. Can you be Dr. Draper for us? Or just
you want me to put on my cap?
Our King's psychologist.
Okay.
Dr. Draper, a lot of us feel like we just are filled with this, I don't even know what the emotion is. We feel like if only the Kings had won a few of the games against teams this year that we know they are better than, that we know they should have beaten. If they'd won just a couple, this would be a totally different scenario right now. And it's maddening and it's frustrating. We're grinding our teeth about what can we do about that? Mm.
What am I supposed to say?
What,
like, the question is, what can we do about that?
Yeah, you're supposed to help us do this, Dr. Draper. What's the right approach?
My therapist would say, control what you can control going forward. Don't look in the rearview mirror. Sure, you lost to Detroit, Charlotte. You had some bad losses. But go out there and beat Boston this week. Go out there and beat the Knicks. Why can't you do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you still control your destiny to an extent. Your goals are still there. And so now's not the time to wallow in the misery of bad losses. Now's not the time to be crying spilt milk and shedding tears in your coffee in the morning. Now's the time to band together.
Yeah.
To suck it up and let's go get some wins. That's the time. Forget it. I'm not worried about Detroit loss or anything like that. Now, after the season is over and we don't make the actual playoffs, we get to. But now you're in the heat of the battle right now. You can't think about, you know, some of the battles you've lost in the past.
There's just nothing to be gained by that type of regret.
Exactly.
And everything that happened this year, good and bad, has gone into making you the team that you are
right
now. On April 1st, two games out of the fifth spot.
Two games out. You got, what, nine games left to go? Eight games left to go. And
eight games left.
Why not go 5-3? You wind up 48-34 like last year. That's a successful season. I'll take it. And so it's still there. You are in the heat of the battle. Don't look in the past in the rearview mirror.
Thank you, doctor.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got you.
I'm willing to. A little late with my payment this month. Is that okay?
Insurance, right? You need that explanation of benefits to come in the mail and see how much you owe, right?
Man, I had to call somebody today about some appointment, and they, well, what's your insurance? It's like, I don't know.
You don't know your insurance?
Well,
what?
I kind of do. But it's like, you know, oh, so you still have the PPO?
It's
sure. Yeah, sure.
I need to order. Oh, no, I did order a new insurance card because remember I lost my wallet.
So. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I got a new one coming. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Okay. So you're okay with a lot of stuff because sometimes insurance questions, I'm just like.
I went to the doctor the other day and they're like, do you have your insurance card? I'm like, no, I lost my wallet. I'm like, don't you have my info on file? No, we need to see the actual card. So I'm like, what? Just look it up, you know, and eventually they found it and printed one out and it's ridiculous. Yeah.
You still dealing with that, huh?
Still dealing with it every day.
Getting close? Getting
every
close
day. Getting close to fully, you know, back together. The Costco card I'm not getting, though. I got the digital, you know. I just got it on my phone.
There
I don't
you
need
go.
It.
Some of that stuff you didn't need.
Didn't need it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
When we come back, De'Aaron Fox on what it's like playing with Malik going forward. Ooh. How do the Kings get through this challenge and still end up in a happy place? Next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, it's the Drive Guys. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
Well, for what it's worth, I'm impressed by the level of optimism being displayed by the smartest listeners/viewers in radio on the text line, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. From the 916, I'm dreading this stretch, but I'm hoping for a strong finish. 6-2. Manny Too Legit, our buddy, says we can possibly go for 6-2. Only concerns with the two is for the Celtics and Pels. But the rest, like the Clips, Knicks, Nets, OKC, Suns, and Portland, all beatable. And then Drapes, we also have this from Curtis Hicks. Drapes, we could catch all of them. They all play each other. We could tie everyone and hold three and get in. So I was just saying the level of optimism, considering where things are right now for the Kings. It's impressive.
It really is. I mean, think about it. We woke up Saturday. The sky was falling, right? Like, woe is me. No Malik. Last time maybe he's ever putting on a Kings uniform. Dallas beat us twice. And so I like the optimism going on with eight games left to go. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling it.
We do have to take into account that, last night the Kings looked good, but that was against a really bad team that's probably not, as an organization, even trying to win.
Yeah, and they were without two or three of their top guys and everything. And so, and it was a close game at the half. I'm like, what's going on? What are we doing? You know, like, we should have curb stomped these guys right from the opening tip. But our boys got it together in the third quarter.
Today, De'Aaron Fox met with the media after practice. And the whole thing right now is all day we've been spending time trying to figure out, what do the Kings do without Malik Monk? After the game last night, all the questions. How do you deal with the absence of Malik? Here's De'Aaron Fox today on the Kings going forward playing without Malik.
I mean, obviously, I think you're missing such a dynamic player in terms of his scoring and his playmaking. But, I mean, with him not going to be here, obviously, for the rest of this regular season, we have to find another way. And that's me out there with Keon a lot, me out there with Davion a lot. And we've had a conversation of what we want to run. Me being off the ball and just in terms of what we're doing offensively. And I think, obviously, defensively, always having one of those guys out there, you know, makes us a better defensive team. So it works both ways for sure.
What's the significance to that in your mind? Is it more than cosmetic? You know, when we talk about, well, I'm going to be off the ball. I know there was some talk last night, like Keegan playing the two guard. Yeah. How significant is all that stuff right now?
I don't think it's as significant in the Mike Brown offense.
I'm with you. It's kind of cosmetic. It's, oh, right. are you the three? Or are you the two? Right. Like, what's the difference?
It's just, yeah, you're just ball players, you know? Yeah. Like, you know, and I don't expect, like, the things they run for Malik. Like, Malik, when, you know, one thing I will say about him, when he comes into the game, the offense does change a little bit. Not as many dribble handoffs, not as much through Sabonis.
More pick and roll. More
pick and roll, exactly. And so maybe now you don't run that as much. You run your base offense. You know, I would like to see Davion maybe in the pick and roll a little more, something he worked on all offseason, something during his first year under when Luke Walton was here and then Alvin Gentry. Like, he thrived in that. Remember when De'Aaron was out? Like, he thrived in that traditional point guard role. But, I think with De'Aaron, I don't want to see him off the ball more. Like, I'd like to see him and Domas do a little bit more pick and roll, especially late in games. And so I think that's all cosmetic, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm, I don't think it, you know, and let's not forget, no Kevin Huerter either. Like, you talk about them dribble handoffs, like, that was Huerter's bread and butter. And so now without him also, I think, you know, you do change it a little bit, but you could still run Keegan. I will say this, and we saw it against Dallas. If you're a defense, Keon Ellis does not present the same threat as a Malik or a Kevin Huerter. And so those dribble handoffs, you don't have to come over, hug up as close with Keon. It's up to Keon to make the defense pay, but I think it changes from a defensive scheme point without Malik and Kevin Huerter.
I thought Keon Ellis did a really good job of recognizing the offensive opportunities he had in the Dallas games. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't going to go out and score 30, but he put up some points because he recognized, as you said, they were hiding one of their two guards defensively by having him guard Keon. So he was open and he took and made shots.
Yes, he did. In a second Dallas game, you know, he took 12 shots. I mean, nine threes. He took nine threes. That's a ton. But mostly they were good shots, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when you're in that role, you can't be playing 4-on-5 on that end. Like, you have to be aggressive, you know? And as much as Mike Brown will pull somebody for lack of defense, I think at times if you're a liability offensively, you got to get pulled also. I think they need Keon, Davion to be aggressive offensively.
They need HB and they need Keegan to take the shots when they're there. Here's De'Aaron Fox again today after practice talking about Harrison Barnes and Keegan and how much more they can score going forward.
And obviously with someone like Malik out, Domas and I have to be better. But at the end of the day, you know, there are going to be games where you just don't have it, or, you know, you don't just explode and you need other guys to step up. And we had that last night, and obviously continue going forward. As a team, we need everybody to step up. Not just one guy isn't going to, you know, take up 16 points and 5-6 assists. One guy isn't going to just make up for all that.
I don't pretend to know why Harrison Barnes seems to be so inconsistent, but I was watching him last night, and, I mean, you could almost say he's gotten better as a shooter.
Yes. Yes.
You agree?
Yes.
I mean, I was reluctant to say that, but that's what it looks like.
And you should watch HB. I watch him warm up time and time again. And those corner threes that he knocks down, there's a certain way you could tell when the ball comes off his hand, whether it's going to be, has a shot to go in or not, you know? And when he releases it really high, like really, like it's almost up here. Like it's hard to explain. But watching him last night, I could tell by his release point how good he was going to be. And HB still has all the tools, man. He can be a difference maker. And you look at that Utah Jazz game, he took 7 threes. Those were the spray threes that, you know, Mike Brown and we all love. And so I think him and Keegan can be the biggest, guys that take advantage of that. Look, Keegan took 12 threes last night. Man.
Yeah.
They were getting it up.
And obviously he's a very good three-point shooter. There's no question about that. But he's got a little more flatter trajectory, huh, Keegan?
Flatter. But I think that's when he gets up,
on his jump shot. Like, he got you're allowed to do that. Yeah. Now, if you're flat-footed, you know, you got to get a little more arc. But when he steps into it, man, it's pretty.
Domas, meanwhile, joining another Wilt Chamberlain club. The details are next with the Drive Guys on Sactown Sports.